Boker Tov and Anirit. We are finishing Perek Aleph, my God, come on. Finishing Perek Aleph in Sefania, which means that we will begin Perek Bet very shortly in Sefania. And Sefania is talking about Yom Hashem. Yom Hashem, the day, the judgment day. Judgment day. If you are of the era, it's you're right, but it's tzafun. It's very interesting because Chazal say he was a little tzafun because he was overwhelmed by the presence of Yirmiyahu in his generation, and Chulda, who being a woman, got a lot of good press also. And he is like a much less well-known figure. Isn't it interesting? Very interesting. At any rate, my friends, I'm sorry to interrupt all the private conversations. I know it's kind of, you know, nervy of me. However, I'm going to tell you as soon as I have a chance, okay? At any rate, we are learning. We are finishing Perek Aleph. We are talking about Judgment Day, Yom Hashem, and at the end of Perek Aleph, Sefania is talking about what will be the results of the actions of Judgment Day. You know, he talked about first that the whole world is going to suffer, and then he zeroed in on Yehuda. Please remember, Malchut Yisrael has already been exiled. He talked about the different types of people that were living in Yehuda at the time, why they needed to be punished. And then he says, and this will be the results. So we are up to Pasuk Yud Dalid, Perek Aleph, Yud Dalid 14. And it starts, Karov Yom Hashem HaGadol. It's, the day of judgment, the day of Hashem, the great day of Hashem is coming very close. Umaher ma'od. Karov umaher ma'od. I left out another karov. It's close, and it's coming very quickly. It's hurrying. Kol yom Hashem mar tzoreach shom gibor. That kol yom Hashem can be, this is the sound that you will hear on the Yom Hashem. The sound will be a gibor, a strong man who is screaming a bitter cry. So Reach is screaming, yelling. So the sound is, the sound of Yom Hashem that we will hear will be the sound of a gibor, even a gibor is the idea of the gibor, screaming a bitter scream. Or kol yom Hashem can be like kol dodi, hine zeba. I hear the sound of his coming. So kol can be that you hear the sound of the Yom Hashem coming. So either it's the harbinger of the Yom Hashem, or it's the actual, what it's going to sound like. And that was Pasuk Yudalad. And according to the Malvim, that bitter cry that will be heard of the Gibor is the next few Psukim. The next few Psukim is what he's screaming, the Gibor, which is Yom Evra Hayomhu. Evra is anger. Right? Like Za'am. Just like in the Haggadah. Excuse me. Slicha, absolutely. Yom Hashem can be the local, the near, and it could be Judgment Day, far off. I think that the way we understand it here, it is indeed the day of the Churban, the day of reckoning, the day that Yehuda will get what they deserve, so to speak. So he's saying it is a Yom Evra Hayom Hu. Today, in other words, the Gibora is screaming. It's a day of anger, Yom Tzara Umitsuka. It's a day of troubles and oppression, Yom Shoah Umeshoah.
Oh, wow. That's where it comes from.
Yes, it comes from actually Shoah. Slicha comes from Yeshayahu. So we can see again the influence of Yeshayahu on these Nevi'im that lived in the generation after him or two generations after him. Yom Shoah Umeshoah. It's emphasized. Yom Shoah is a day of great catastrophe, a sudden catastrophe that comes. And Meshoah is just emphasis on that Shoah. Yom Choshech Va'afela, a day of darkness, great darkness. Yom Anan Va'arafel, a day of clouds, total clouds, and Arafel is black clouds. So it's a day that's completely black, a day of darkness, a day of sudden catastrophe, a day that we see and feel the anger of Hashem. Yom Shofar Utru'ah. Shofar is that you hear an enemy approaching or you're trying to gather the army because that's the way they did it, by blowing. And so it's a Yom Shofar Utru'ah, a day that they remember in the Torah, Utkatem B'chatzotzrot, you will blow a Tru'ah, Utkatem Tru'ah. You will blow a Tru'ah, so you're going to hear the sound of a Tru'ah, either of the enemy or of your own gathering the army. Al he'arim habitzurot v'al hapinot hagvohot. You're going to hear the army approaching, the enemy army, whether it be on the fortified cities or the pinot hagvohot, according to the Mefarshim, is towers, the high towers, the fortifications, the place where they would stand, the lookouts would stand to see what the enemy is doing. Vahatseroti la'adam. And hatseroti, yes, is I will cause tzara. Hatseroti. I will bring tzara. La'adam. To the people. La'adam, general statement, right? To everybody in the area. V'holchu ka'ivrim. So there's going to be a little confusion also because they'll walk like blind men. Ki la'shem chata'u. Because they sinned against Hashem. In other words, there's some confusion coming in. They won't even realize. They'll be like Ivrim, like blind people who can't see where to go and what to do. Vishupach damam ka'afar. And their blood will be spilled like dirt. Ulechuman kaglavim. And lechumam is like their bodies. Lechumam, their flesh. Even though it comes from lechem, but it really means... Rashi says it's from Aramaic, lachma is not just bread, but the body. Their bodies will be kaglalim, they'll fall in the fields like mounds of manure, of excrement. Ha lachma anya, but that is the bread of affliction. Interesting. Gam kaspam, gam zahavam lo yuchal lahatzilam biyom evrat Hashem. Even their riches, even their silver and their gold will not be able to save them on that day of the anger of Hashem. Uve'esh kin ato teyocheo kol haaretz. And in the fire of his zealousness, the entire land will be consumed. Ki kala, ach nivhala, ya'aseh et kol yoshvei ha'aretz. because kala is an end. He wants to make an end. Ah, but it's going to be nivhala, like a frightening threat, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not destroy all of Am Yisrael. He wants to wipe them out. He wants to make a kala. That's why it says kala. He wants to completely wipe them out, but it's going to turn out to be a fear of utter destruction in Yaseh. He's going to do among all of the dwellers of the land. And Haaretz here, yes, is Eretz Yisrael. Not the land in general, but of this land. So even though he wishes to completely destroy it, so to speak, kviyachol, he won't. It will be nivhala, a terrible threat and a fear. Perek Aleph. That's Perek Aleph. And we're going to Perek Bet in Sefanya, which starts with, you can guess, a call for tshuva. He is going to, in the first few psukim of Perek Bet, he is going to call for the people who are the Rasha'im to come back, and for the people who are Tzadikim to hold on to their Masim Tovim, so that perhaps this terrible disaster, this Shoah u'mishoah, will not necessarily happen. So those are the first few psukim, and he uses a very strange word. And he uses it again twice. He is doing what many of the Nevi'im at this time did, playing with words. Hit koshishu v'koshu. You know that word. Mekoshesh etzim, and there's one other usage of it. They had to gather the temen and the straw. That was the Mekoshesh etzim was in the Torah. But if you remember, there was also the Tzarfati woman in the time of Eliyahu. And when Eliyahu was sent to her, because remember there was a Ra'av in the Aretz, and he was sent to her and she was going to give him lechem, even though she only had a tiny bit of oil and a tiny bit of kemach. And it said he found her mikosheshet etzim. And I never could find the connection between the three uses of that verb form. Hit koshishu v'koshu here, the mikoshesh etzim, and the mikosheshet. It means to gather. Mikoshesh etzim is to gather wood, right? The man was mikoshesh etzim b'yom ha-shabbat. It was probably tzlafchad, according to the Medrash. And the woman was mekosheshet etzim to make her last little bit of bread. And here it koshishu, gather yourselves, not wood, gather yourselves together, vakoshu, and encourage others to gather with you. Hagoy lo nechsaf. You know, there's a zemer that we sing on Shabbat. What is it again? Ka Echsof Noam Shabbat. Very pretty song. Echsof. Hoy Nechsof Nechsafti. Yes, yes. So, Agoy Lo Nechsaf. It's such a poignant description, because the positive Nechsaf is to yearn, right? To yearn, to desire, to want very much. And you, Goyin Onechsav, he's talking about the Rasha'im. You who are not desired by Hashem, because you're the Rasha'im. In other words, taking this utterly gorgeous word, and you are a Goy Lo Nechsav. So he's talking to the Rishayim of the people, and he's saying, gather yourselves together and encourage others to gather with you to make a change. You goy, you nation that is not yearned for and desired. Cheshet is the words the Mefarshim use, not desired by Hashem. B'terem ledet chok. Kamotz avar yom, b'terem lo yavo alechem charon af Hashem. I'm reading the whole pasuk because it's so amazingly put together. B'terem is even before, right? Gather together, and we'll put in and do tshuva. Gather together and determine to do tshuva. You who are not acting in a desired way, and do it quickly before anything happens. So do it quickly, terem ledet chok, even before the gezerah gives birth. Chok here is like the gezerah to Hashem for destruction, even before it comes to be. Before it comes, they like to give birth, to really come to the world. So gather together now, before anything is born. Kemotz avar yom, because the day can pass as quickly as motzei chaff. Who was it that said before about the chaff and the wind gathering? That's right, they used to gather. So gather together because it passes so quickly, it can pass as quickly as the wind blows away the soft part of the wheat that you don't need, the chaff. B'terem lo yavo alechem charon af Hashem. Before, do it even before the anger of Hashem comes on you. In other words, hurry up and get together and do tshuva. And another b'terem, lo yavo aleichem yom af Hashem. Even before, and that lo is that it shouldn't even come close to you. Before the yom Hashem happens, before the idea is even born, before anything happens. Bakshu et Hashem, kol anvei aretz, seek out Hashem. And anvei aretz are like the humble, right? And that means really it's referring to the tzaddikim. So the first two psukim, gather yourselves, even before anything bad happens, to do tshuva, is speaking to the Rishayim. And now he's speaking to the ones that are the tzaddikim and saying, you remain strong. Continue to do what you have been doing. Seek out Hashem, all you anvei anavim, you humble people. Asher mishpato pa'alu, who carried out his mishpat, the justice of Hashem. Pa'alu, they did it. Bakshu tzedek, seek righteousness. Bakshu anava, and continue to seek humility. Ulai tisatru biyom af Hashem. Maybe you will be left out. You will be pushed aside. You will not suffer on the day of the anger of Hashem. Was somebody saying something? No, I know exactly.
Yeah.
is using a lot of words in the opposite way that we usually think of them, is really what's going on. Marcel, in case you didn't hear, Marcel is really picking up that some of these words, A, are not the words that are normally used. For instance, there are other Nevi'im that tell us to gather. And that word, hitkoshishu, is very unusual. And the makosheshetzim and the makosheshetetzim, it's very unusual. If I'm not mistaken, and I must tell you that I didn't check it recently, but I remember teaching Malachim being bothered by why it says that the Tzarfatit is Mekosheshet Eitzim and not Ma'asefet. It had to be a reminder of the Mekosheshet Eitzim. You know what I'm saying? It's like a word that's a strange word. And I think I remember at the time looking it up in a concordance and seeing that this is the only other time that form is used. Hit koshishu va koshu. So it is. There's something very strange about his usage of the of language. That echsof, I think, is a perfect example. But we can see it again and again here also. Because the words are strange, the words are different, the words are unusual. It's very interesting that Hashem really is going to do what he's threatening to do, because people, if you remember, I think this is what Chani means, they thought, no, it's not going to happen. And it was in the last parak. We did it. Remember, we did it where all those people were saying, Lo, it's not going to happen. Ha'omrim b'levavam, lo yetiv Hashem v'lo yareya. Just before we finished last week, nothing is going to happen. So maybe he's trying to attract attention. There is. You are absolutely right. There is a strange usage of words throughout Sefanya. Throughout the entire three prakim. Really, really strange. It sure is hidden. I can't remember exactly. I think I mentioned it to you. Where is it? I don't remember, but it says at this time there were the three Nevi'im. Yirmiyahu would give his nevuah out in the streets, right? Lech v'karata, remember? B'chutzot Yerushalayim. And Sefanya was within the houses, within. He was within, inside Safon. And Chulda was busy with the Nashim. Yes. And I can't remember. I think the Midrash was on Chulda. In other words, who were the Nevi'im of this time? But it's very, very interesting. At any rate, what he's going to do now, so the first three psukim are a call both to the Rasha'im and to the Tzadikim of his time. Wow.
So how is he going to talk to the people he already loves? And now he has an obligation to say whatever Hashem has told him.
He gathered people in his house, or he gathered people in the Beit Midrash. It was all within. It was inside, not within him. Also, please remember that we did have in Habakkuk, when Habakkuk said, I'm going to stand right here until you tell me, the answer to my question about why are there so many enemies to Am Yisrael. And Hashem said, write it down. So sometimes the Navi was told not just to speak to the people, or maybe not to speak to the people. Who was told not to speak? Yechezkel was told not to say anything, but write it down. And we have the zechut of being able to learn those words. Nevuas ledorot, absolutely. The next few psukim in this perek will talk about the destruction to the nations around Am Yisrael. Because from a historical point of view, Babel did overrun the area. There's no question. It wasn't just Eretz Yehuda that they wanted. They overran everybody. And so the Navi says, and it's again, notice please the play on words, the language. He says, Pasuk Dalid, Ki Aza, Azuvatiyah. Aza will be abandoned. Va'ashkelon lishmama. And Ashkelon will be desolate. Ashdod bat Sahariyim yigorshuha. In Ashdod, in broad daylight. In the middle of the day, there'll be Ashdod. Yes. But so Harayim Yigarshua, they'll chase the people out in the middle of the day. But so Harayim, the Ekron Teoker. And Ekron will be uprooted. And we're talking about the cities of the Plishtim. Nachon, Aza, Ashkelon, Ashdod, and Ekron are four of the five cities of the Plishtim. The fifth one is Gat. These four cities, he's saying, look around you. Everything is going to be turned upside down, uprooted, and destroyed. And he's going to talk a little bit more about the Plishtim. He says, Hoy, woe, Yoshvei Chevel Hayam, Goy Kretim. Woe to those who dwell in the area on the shores of the sea. Those who came, Goy Kretim, Crete. They were a nation, please remember, that the Plishtim, they're called Plishtim because they invaded Polchim. They invaded from the islands in the Mediterranean. They basically were a nation with a great Greek influence. That's why they were at such a high cultural level, and their pottery was finer than everybody around in the area. And he says, woe to that nation. And they kept on coming, different waves throughout our history. They were island people. We know that they worshipped a fish god because they made their living from the sea. So woe to those who live in the Chevel, the area of the Yam, the nation from the Kretim, the Cretes. Dvar Hashem Aleichem Kna'an, Eretz Plishtim. And by Kna'an, he means the people that came to this land, in the land of the Plishtim. Woe to you, because the word of Hashem is on you. It applies to you. It's not just the Jews. It's the everybody in the area. Va'avaditich me'en yoshev. I am going to destroy you, wipe you out, until there will be nobody left. Me'en yoshev, nobody will be left. Yes, Hanura. Everybody says it's the land of Kna'an, and nobody seems, I'm going to read to you, since you don't understand. You have to find it, though. Because nobody seems to think it's anything except that it is, wait a minute. Canaan can also, wait a minute. I don't have it now, but I did have it. I remember.
Is a reference to.
Oh, I got it. He says, "Kanan eretz plishtim plishtim techashev la eretz Kanan yeseriz Yehoshua." A plishtim is considered eretz Kanan, k'moshe katuv, mei hashichor v'gomer la Kanani techashev chameshet sarnei plishtim. In other words, when Yehuda is dividing up the when Yehuda, I ruined it. Erase. Okay, have you erased? It didn't happen. I didn't say anything, right? When Yehoshua is dividing up the land, then Yehoshua is describing Kna'an. This area is also called Kna'an. Did you hear that, Hanarach? This area is called Kna'an, and that land was the land of the five kings of the Plishtim. So he's putting it in here to remind us. V'hoita chevel hayam nivot krot ro'im v'gidrot son. It is really peculiar usage. Because he's saying that chevel hayam, that was such a developed area, and that the Plishtim came with all of their culture, is going to turn out to be a dwelling place where shepherds dig their krot, as they dig, they dig their holes to make fires, the gidrot zone, and a place of flocks of sheep. Excuse me? Gidrot, right, thank you. Fence and a fenced-in place for flocks. In other words, a desolate area where there will just be little places that the shepherds gather and they dig a hole so that they can make a fire and warm themselves and fence in their flocks of sheep. It will be gone. The civilization that lived there will be gone. V'hayta chevel l'sheirit Beit Yehuda. Aleihem Yirun. And that area, the Chevel, the area of the Plishtim, is going to be a place for the remnants of the house of Yehuda. They will shepherd their flocks there. Bevatei Ashkelon, Ba'erev Yirbotzon. In the places that were the houses of Ashkelon, in the evening they'll bring their flocks to lie down. Ki yifkadeim Hashem aleihem v'shav shivitam, because Hashem will remember them, meaning the remnants of Yehuda. He's looking ahead. The remnants of Yehuda, when they come back, will go back to these places that were the height of culture in Ashkelon, and that will be the places that will be totally empty, that they will take their flocks of sheep. Because Hashem, there will be a time that Hashem will remember them, Yehuda, not the Plishtim. He'll remember Yehuda. Shamati, he's now going to Moab and Ammon. Shamati, the Navi says, Cherpat Moab, v'gidufei b'nei Ammon. I have heard the way Moab and Ammon spoke about Am Yisrael. It's not the shame of Moab, but the shame that they piled upon Am Yisrael. And there's always, whenever we talk about Ammon and Moab, there's like a little extra pain, because they're our cousins. You know, it's like a little extra. In other words, they specifically shamed, piled shame upon Am Yisrael, especially Malchut Yehuda. And when it says Gidufei B'nei Ammon, Gidufei is blast, I never can say the word nicely, blaspheming, which means they heaped shame upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moab heaped shame upon the people. Ammon went further and blasphemed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Asher cherfu et ami. They shamed my nation. Vayagdilu al gvulam. And they encroached upon their borders. In other words, they made their own area bigger by encroaching upon the borders of Am Yisrael. Pasuk Tet. Lochein chai oni ne'um Hashem svakot elokei Yisrael. Therefore, there's a swear here, right? Chai oni, I swear by my life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying. Ne'um Hashem svakot, again, remember last week we had a little trouble with this. It means these are the words of Hashem. The Navi is using the words exactly as he received them, however he received them. Hashem Svakot, Elokei Yisrael, God of hosts. It's making it very official. Ki Moav Kisdomti. Moav is going to be like stone. What does that mean? Nepach, Nachon, totally turned over and destroyed. Uvnei Amon Ka'amora. That's where they came from to start from, and they're going to be just like, destroyed just like Sodom and Amora. Mimishak Charul. I think that is the strangest expression of all. Mimishak Charul Umichre Melech Ushmama Ad Olam. Hold on. When you see the Shmama Ad Olam, then you know the picture that the Navi is trying to paint. So, the area. Just give me a sec. And then we will take Korda, which we have. The area is going to turn out to be a desolate place forever, for a long time. It is a desolate place. Think about it. It's like really a desolate place. Mimishak Charul is a desert like a thorn bush that's rustling. It's all dried out. And it rustles in the wind. Umichre Melech, salt mines, an area of salt mines, go down to the bottom of the Dead Sea. And think about, you know, there's those strange weeds that are very dry looking. So that's the Mishak Charul, Michre Melech, and Shmama, and desolate. Their area is going to be desolate. She'erit ami yivazum. The remnants of my people will take them as biza. They're going to find a use for the salt. They're going to find a use for the minerals. The remainders of my people. V'yeter goy yin chalum. And another nation will inherit that area. One of the things that he just mentioned that we need to emphasize is that the other nations, when people came back, they were not of the original dwellers. And that's what he's saying, Yeter Goy. But Am Yisrael, when he says, my nation is going to take Biza, will use the spoils, it's because we came back as Am Yisrael. We came back to the area as Am Yisrael. The people that came back as Plishtim were not the, every time, they were not the original Plishtim. They were not the descendants of the original peoples. Rather, they were a wave, other waves of sea people that came. People that came back like the Jordanians. Do not think that the Jordanians are descendants of Ammon and Moab. They might be related to us, but they're not. There's no culture, right, that they brought back. Whereas Am Yisrael, when we came back because we held on to our status, our Torah, our status is Am Hashem. Zot Lachem, I'm looking at Pasuk Yud. Zot Lachem, Lachem, not Lachem, sorry. Tachat Gaonam. This is what is going to happen to them in return for that arrogance. That arrogance of their shaming Am Yisrael and their shaming HaKadosh Baruch Hu, blaspheming, is going to happen to them. Ki Chervu, Chervu. Vayagdilu al Am Hashem Tzvakot. Because they blasphemed, they insulted, and made themselves greater than the nation of Hashem Tzvakot, of Hashem God of Hosts. So that will be their punishment. This is what is happening to them. What we have, we are still going to continue with other nations. No ra Hashem aleihem ki raza et kol Elohei haaretz vayishtachvu lo ish mimkomo kol iye goyim. And I want to read this in the Malbim. No ra yiru et Hashem ki raza et kol Elohei haaretz she yiru she ein mamash be'elilehem. The word raza is inyan kachachush. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu denied the existence of any other gods. Raza, it's like he leveled the idea of any gods, small g's. So Hashem was Nora Aleihem, strong and awesome, because he made all the gods of the land nothing. And every man in these other nations around Am Yisrael had all bowed down to them and worshipped them, all of the nations around. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is punishing the nations around Am Yisrael because they each had their own god, small g. And not only that, but they wanted to force Am Yisrael away from their belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. It's a little addition right in the middle, which is an interesting hint. According to the Malbim, it's a hint that there will come a time, Bayom Hahu Yiyeh Hashem Echad, Ushmo Echad. According to the Malbim, what he's saying really, Raza, when it says Raza, it's as though he erased all the idol worship, and there will come a time that that he will, that all of the nations will come to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a very interesting thing that's going on in the Perek that we need to pick up, that he's really talking about two distinct time frames. Toda. There are two distinct time frames that we're talking about here. There's the time frame of what is going to happen very shortly, which is Bavel coming and destroying everybody. And that's pretty quick, because remember that Sefanya is living roughly about the same time as Yirmiyahu, in the time of Yoshiyahu HaMelech, and from the time that Yoshiyahu dies It is only something like 22 years until the Churban. So really, it's atatat. So time frame one is that he's talking about what's going to happen in the inexorable march of Babel on Am Yisrael and the nations all around them. But time frame two, we have had various hints that they're going to come back and inherit the land. They're going to come back and take spoils with the salt mines. And here, that there will come a time that the other nations will worship Hashem. And that we know is later, right? Yimot HaMashiach, Acharit HaYamim. So he is definitely talking on the two time frames. And he's not finished with the nations that were destroyed, because we have Gamatem Kushim. He's speaking also to the people of Kush. Chalalei Charbi Hema. They are going to be killed by my sword. They are going to be dead bodies from my sword. Vayet yado al tzafon vayabed et Ashur. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu stretched out his hand on the north, or you could say Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel, stretched out his hand to the north. That was one of the first things that he did, and that was actually probably done during the time of Zephaniah, because it was during the time of Yoshiyahu that one of the first things that Babel did in order to establish themselves as the empire that they became was to conquer Ashur and to rule over their entire territory. So he stretched his hand northward, north and east, northward, and he totally destroyed Ashur. Vayosem et Nineveh lishmama. And he turned, remember that Ir HaGedolah that we learned again and again, Nineveh, to desolation? Tzia, coming by. Empty. Tzia is empty. Like a midbar. He totally destroyed the might and the power of Ashur when Ashur had really been the empire of the world at that time. V'ravtzu b'tocha adarim. You notice he uses this image when the nation is destroyed that it will just turn into a grazing. Meaning it's going to be a long time till it's rebuilt. It's going to be a long time till anybody will establish the place as a place of dwelling. So there will lie down in its midst flocks. Kol chayto goy, gam koat, gam kipot. I love that, the kipot. What's the kipot? The kipot is the... a porcupine. Is that a porcupine, the sticky thing? Yes. Yes. Slicha? Yes. Yes. Bekaftoreha yalinu kol yishorer b'chalon chorev basaf ki arza era. Whoa. Unbelievable. So it tells us that Ka'at and Kipod are Shemot Ofot HaMetzuyot B'Charavot. In other words, for some reason, Mitzudat Zion does not say the Kipod is what we think of when we have all the children's songs about Kipod, but he says what we're talking about that they're going to be A, wild animals that will be wandering around. It will be desolate so that there will be wild animals wandering around. But there will also be birds that are only found in destroyed areas. And the ka'at and the kipod are these birds. And he then says, b'kaftoreha, they'll be found b'kaftoreha, which is on the lintels. In other words, the houses will be left destroyed, and birds, some kind of birds that stay in a midbar, will be flying in and out. He's giving an image of these houses, and wild animals will be also walking in and out the threshold and the lintels of the houses. And Yolino, they'll lie down. They'll use it as shelter. Kol yishorer b'chalon, it's so interesting, because there's going to be the sound of song coming in to the windows, and it is going to be totally desolate. The sound of song is the birds chirping. Why? Because arza, era, because the everything is air. It's like we had air many times. Arom, the area, in other words, denuded, totally naked. Because arza is like either erez, it's like the tree is denuded, there's nothing left. Everything is destroyed. It is a picture of animals wandering around in destruction. It's amazing. Zot ha'ir ha'aliza. Isn't that amazing? This is the city that was filled with gaiety. Aliza. This happy city, Hayoshevet Lavetach, that always dwelled in total security. What city are we talking about, my friends? Nineveh. Ha'omra bilavava ani va'afsi. Oh, everything else is nothing. I am what is important. Eichaito l'shama. Isn't that like? How was it destroyed? Marbeit l'chaya, a place for the animals to lie down. Kol over alecha yishrok. Anybody who passes by will. It's not a nice whistle. It's like a phew. What's going on here? Yishrok is a whistle, but it's like a shriek whistle. Anybody who passes by, Yonia Yado is going to say, oi, oi, vey, look at what happened to Nineveh. It's really interesting to me that this part, when he's describing Nineveh, really has some echoes of Yerushalayim and Eicha. And it's like amazing and overwhelming to me that there is something that keeps repeating itself about Nineveh. That we started with Yonah, and we had Yonah who was sent by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Nineveh. And he was the only Navi that was sent to another nation to get them to do tshuva. Other Naviim spoke about other nations, but never spoke to directly the other nations to get them to do tshuva. And then Nineveh appeared again in Nahum, where Nahum explained to us what happened eventually to Nineveh. Remember the three waves? Yonah first, and then there was a king. If you remember, he saw the river turn backwards. And then there was the final destruction of Nineveh, which we are going back to now, at the time that it actually happened. Because Zephaniah is the time that it actually happened with Nineveh. And so we just finished Perek Bet. So we had in Perek Bet, please remember, a call for tshuva in Yisrael, in Yehuda, the Rishaim and the Tzadikim gathered together, and then a description of what Babel is going to do to the nations all around, with an emphasis on what happened to Nineveh, Ha'ir HaGdola. That's perfect. We have one more paragraph. So Shavua Tov, happy to be Shvat. Eat Peirot Eretz Yisrael. Yes.